Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching entitled Killing Sacred Cows was recorded at our 2009 Houston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Hallelujah. Again, let me just emphasize that if you missed any of these sessions, please get the previous two because what I'm saying is in sequence. I started talking last night that God is a good God, that God is a faithful God, that God loves us. And those are statements that all of us embrace, but the Scripture says in Mark 7:13, Jesus was speaking and He says, your traditions have made the Word of God of none effect. Is that right? Making the Word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things do ye. Traditions, doctrines of man, void the power of the Word. And so we say that, yes, God is a good God. But then what I started countering last night was the religion will turn around and say, well, God's the one that puts cancer on you. God's the one that controls tragedy. God's the one who uses the devil and sicks the devil on you. And if you have a problem, it's actually God trying to get your attention. Religion has taught us that our problems and our trials are actually good things. It just amazes me. You know, I didn't use this last night, but real quickly, let me just say this. That Deuteronomy chapter 28 lists the blessings and the curses of the law. And it's just as if you had this huge blackboard up here. And if on the left side over here, you wrote at the top blessings, and then you put a line down the middle, and then over on the right hand side, it lists curses. Deuteronomy 28 says verses 1 through 14, these are the blessings that will come upon you. And it lists prosperity, health, joy, victory. Your enemies will come out against you one way, but flee seven ways. You'll be victorious and all of these things. It lists health as a blessing. It lists prosperity as a blessing. It lists joy and peace and victory as a blessing. Over on the other side, it says these are the curses that'll come upon you. Now, I taught on this morning that we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. But so these curses won't come on the New Testament believer because of Jesus. He became a curse for us and redeemed us from the curse of the law, Galatians 3:13. But nonetheless, it lists the curses and it says poverty is a curse. Sickness is a curse. Disease is a curse. The itch is a curse. Blasting, which is high winds. You might want to claim that one here in Houston when a hurricane comes through. That's a curse. Mildew is a curse. Vexation of your eyes and of your heart. Stress is a curse. And then it says every sickness and every disease, which isn't enumerated specifically, these are curses, all sickness and disease. So the Bible makes it very clear. These are blessings. These are curses. Today, the church basically has switched this. Oh, this cancer is actually a blessing in disguise. This is God giving this to me. And if you say that God wants to heal people, that's of the devil. Religion has switched it. Being sick is a blessing and being well is a curse. It's of the devil. It just defies logic. Anyway, I was countering all of that last night. And then that led to this morning talking about that there are a lot of things that happened in the Bible where God blasted people and put sickness on people and struck people. But you can't show me a single one of those instances where it was a blessing. It was always a curse. It was a punishment. It was a judgment. And the Old Testament law held people's sins against them. That's what the Scripture says. He imputed people's sins unto them through the law. And the word impute means to hold to your account. Under the new covenant, all of our sins have been imputed to Jesus. And Jesus has suffered for our sins, and God isn't holding your sins against you. Now that needs more explanation, and I'm going to deal with that probably tomorrow and go in further into that about how all of our sins, past, present, and even sins you haven't even committed yet, have already been forgiven and dealt with. Now that sounds nearly too good to be true. And people say, well, that's not what I've heard. That's one of the traditions of men that makes the word of none effect. I'm going to show this to you from Scripture. And so, anyway, God is not imputing sin unto us because the Old Testament law that imputed sin is now gone. And in the New Testament, it says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath, past tense, already reconciled us unto God by His Son. Or reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. The next verse, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing men's trespasses unto them. This is the way that Jesus came. He didn't hold people's sins against them. There was a woman that was taken, I think it's John chapter 8, in the very act of adultery. And she was brought to Jesus and they said, what do you say that should be done? And they did this to trip Him up. Because if He said, He was preaching grace and He was preaching mercy. He was going in and eating with harlots and publicans and sinners. People that the religious realm had said that you are separated from God. God wouldn't even dare answer your prayer. God won't go into your house. God hates you because of your lifestyle. Jesus was fellowshipping with people that religion had rejected. And He was preaching mercy, and that's one of the reasons He had such big crowd, because they were sick and tired of the legalism and the rejection and the punishment. Same thing's happening today. People are forsaking the church by droves because of the hypocrisy and the condemnation and the guilt and stuff like this. And Jesus was fellowshipping with the people that the church had said God wouldn't have anything to do with. And so they thought they had it. If He let this woman go, when the Bible very specifically said in Leviticus chapter 18 that if anybody commits adultery, they have to be put to death. And if you don't put them to death, you have to be put to death. They thought they had Him, because if He condemned her so that they wouldn't kill Him, He would lose His crowd, because He had been preaching grace and mercy and showing kindness towards people who were sinners, and His crowds would forsake Him if He turned around and condemned this woman. But if He didn't condemn this woman, then they had the right to judge Him and kill Him. They had Him either way He went, so they thought. But you know, the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of the world. And so Jesus just said, he that's without sin cast the first stone. He didn't say that what she did wasn't sin. He didn't condone it and say it's okay to commit adultery. What He did was extend mercy towards her and said, those of you that don't have any sin, cast the first stone. And you know, He wrote on the ground. And I don't know what He wrote, because the Scripture doesn't say. But He wrote something that I believe convicted them. It says they all went away being convicted of their own conscience. Now this is just ideology. I'm not saying that this is what He did, but He could have wrote down Zacchaeus or one of their names and have written Rachel underneath it, his mistress. He could have written down another one that had been stealing money, or somebody else that had been doing this, and he could have been writing something that, man, these people all of a sudden realized, whoops, the jig's up. Amen. And they got convicted and they all left. And He extended mercy towards a woman that was under the Old Testament law was supposed to die. There's a difference between the way God dealt with people under the law and the way He deals with them under the New Testament. And it's amazing how the vast majority of Christians do not understand that. And they try and mix the two. And out of one side of their mouth talk about Jesus has forgiven us of our sins. And out of the other side of their mouth, if you sin, God is going to judge you and you're going to be punished. And that's the reason God hadn't healed you. And God won't answer your prayer if you got a sin in your life. If I really believe that, then the moment you got born again, I'd just kill you. I might go to hell, but that's the only way you'd ever get to heaven, because I can guarantee you, you do have sin. You have things that are wrong. Sin isn't only what you shouldn't be doing. To him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. So sin is not only what you're doing bad, sin is what you should be doing that you're failing to do. Every one of you are supposed to love your wife the way that Christ loved the church. There's not a man in here that's fulfilled that perfectly. The women are supposed to reverence your husband the way that the body of Christ is supposed to reverence God. There's not a woman in here that's fulfilled that. We're supposed to be laying our life down for our brother. We're supposed to be praying one for another. According to Philippians chapter 2, we're supposed to esteem others higher than ourselves. Every one of us is failing to do that. All of us are missing it. And if you think that you got to have every sin confessed and everything dealt with, you are in la-la land. You are deceived to think that you are walking truly holy. You might be holy compared to me or compared to somebody else, but you're still coming short. And anybody who's claiming that you're holy and that God's going to move in your life because you've got it all straightened out, you are operating under an Old Testament law mentality and you're deceived. Under the New Covenant, God doesn't give you what you deserve. It is not based on your performance. You have a Savior and you have a relationship with God through the Savior and not through your own effort. That's what I was talking about this morning. And I tell you, that's imperative that people understand that. That is just essential. And there's very few Christians that clearly have that figured out in your heart. Your own heart condemns you. The law strengthens your conscience and makes it come alive. And people who have a guilty conscience are people who live under the law. Man, that's powerful. There's so much I could say about that. What I want to do tonight, after I've made all of these statements, is to say that if God is not the one who's putting bad things on you, then why are there so many bad things happening? Well, there's one of two obvious answers, and that is we have an enemy, the devil, who's going about and he's attacking people, and there are certain things that are from the devil. Or either it's us who is allowing it, and the truth is there's probably a combination of the two. But what this does, it puts personal responsibility upon us. And I think that this is the reason that the kind of doctrine that I'm describing from the Word, and I believe that this is what the Word teaches, I think that this is why it's as rare as hen's teeth that people believe this. Because you know what? It makes you responsible. And we live in a society and a church culture that does not want to make anybody responsible.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on killing sacred cows. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Houston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series R1063C or DVD series R3207D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The third CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK-159 titled, Who's Responsible, when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I know that many of you are getting your life changed through these little programs, and it's just making a huge impact. Could you imagine what it would be if you were to sit under the teaching of God's Word like this 4 hours a day, 5 days a week for 2 years? You know, that's basically what our Bible college is, and it's even enhanced because it's not just me teaching. You get other powerful ministers that come through. And you also get mentoring, personal mentoring. We spend a lot of time with our students. So I would like to encourage you that if you would like to go deeper and further, you need to get involved in our Charis Bible Colleges. There's many ways to take advantage of that. If you'd called, Nell, share with you about how you could join today.